Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is going to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Word to those that may, then again, may not know him
and the parts of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Father God, grace me your servant with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep down in the pit of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we allow the church to say amen and amen. Thank you once again for tuning in on tonight. And our sermon on tonight entitled Beverly Hill versus Rolling Hill. And we're going to take our first key scripture out of the law of Philippians 3 and 20. And it reads like this. Our citizenship is in heaven. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Philippians 3 and 20. Hallelujah. And we're going to go on to our second key scripture on tonight. And it reads this. It says, be aware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Luke 12 and 15. And so, hallelujah, we know that when you have it all, when you have everything that life has to offer, then that means that you have it all. Hallelujah. And we know that far as the residents in Beverly Hill, in the residential area of Beverly Hill, is a historical city, historical landmark, where they have manicured lawns, you have bells and whistles at your every whim, you have your chauffeur, you have your bodyguards, you have your butlers, you have your maid servants. Hallelujah. And you have everything that you need, so you think. But that's where we go right back to the scripture where I just read. And it says, be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. There is nothing wrong with being famous, nothing wrong with being rich, wealthy, nothing wrong with any of those things. But the thing of it is having those things and then yet not knowing God. I'm mighty sure that one cannot fathom anything, any lifestyle, any better than the one that he now lives. Hallelujah. You feel like you're already in heaven. Or so you think. We know that there are those, hallelujah, that they sit high and yet look low. On those that are less fortunate. And it's kind of like the rich man, when the poor man would come and get the scraps from his table every day. He would be so mad because he didn't like the idea of him coming and getting his scraps. Mind you, he was only getting the scraps. He wasn't giving him any steaks, wasn't giving him any pork chops or fried chicken or baked chicken, but he was just getting the scraps, the bones, the gristles that fell from his table. And I imagine, you know, that had to be a master-minded individual to stake out a place and say, well, hey, you know, I'm just going to have this place for just the rich and the famous. And so them that is not, you know, in this category within, you know, you can't come in. You're unwelcome. You know, and I tell you, I thought about that and I said, you know, that would really be something if God felt that same way. If he felt like, you know, well, I'm just going to love them that, you know, that don't have anything, and them that do have anything, I'm not going to love you. But see, we know God is not like that. God do not operate like that. God loves us all. He has no, you know, I love you the best, I love you next. You know, God loves us all in the same medium. God loves us all the same way. God blesses us all differently in different ways. But, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, this person was born with a spoon in his mouth. And I beg to differ. Because God said in his word, when you come here, you didn't have anything. You was in sin and shaped in iniquity. And all of us that God has blessed to acquire what you now have is from God. It's not your PhD degree. It's not your doctorate degree. It's not your putting yourself to school, you know. But everything that you have came from a source. And that's a spiritual source because everything that we have belonged to God. And what I'm saying on tonight is that you can have your riches and your wealth, but don't leave God out. Include God in the equation because God is the one that made it all possible. And just like God has made it possible, God can take it all away. When he gets good and ready, he don't need nobody's okay, anything, you know. Just like when God takes our relatives, our mother, our father, our siblings, our husbands, and our wives, God don't have to knock on nobody's door and say, hey, I want to get your permission, you know, to abstract your mother or your dad or your husband or your wife. God do what he pleases because he is God. So we should live a life that's pleasing unto God because we know that when you're in the limelight, you're under a microscopic lens. And we know that your life is on display. Well, when the day of judgment comes, you will be under that same microscopic lens on judgment day. And your whole life will be revealed before the whole world to see. Hallelujah. And I just want to know, do you really want to live your life without God? In the end, the results won't be, we know it won't be good at all. But I'm going to get into my scripture reading. But, you know, God put that on my heart because, you know, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to bring you the divine word of God. That's the reason that I'm here and no other reason that I'm here but to bring to you the good news of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us that we know that everyone is looking for happiness and people, hallelujah, are following many avenues trying to fight. They're looking at it in money. They're looking in it in parties and self-improvement programs and fancy cars and luxury homes, as I was thinking of. And we're talking about Beverly Hills versus the Rolling Hills. And I'll begin to outline of what Rolling Hills is soon as I get to that point. But we know the Word of God says that's the wrong list to be trying to look for happiness. The right one is found in the law of Matthew. Jesus taught us that deep and lasting happiness comes from being right with God. He said we are blessed or happy when we are poor in spirit, recognizing our desperate need for God. No matter how rich you are, you're still in need of an all-sovereign God. Realizing, hallelujah, that we are desperate need for God. We're mourning and realizing the awfulness of sin and being generally sorry for our sins. He said we should be meek, demonstrating self-control, even when we are mistreated. Then he tells us that we should be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, longing to be holy and pure, merciful, showing mercy to others, just as God will show mercy unto you and I. Pure in spirit, being, hallelujah, single-minded and sincere in our devotion to Christ. God tells us to be peacemakers, sharing the peace of Christ, offering and promoting peace with one another. Although we know we will be prosecuted in this life, but being willing to suffer for Jesus' sake, looking for happiness, is following Jesus' way. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus, hallelujah, is the way to everlasting joy. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's no greater lifestyle than the life of Christ. I don't care. You can search the world over, and you will not find any greater happiness. And I know we've heard people say, hallelujah, that people who are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about the person that you label as so heavenly minded. Said that we are no earthly good. And we've also heard about the preachers who promised their flock a great reward in heaven, but ignore life's difficulties. Some people accuse them of being the pie-in-the-sky prophets. We have forgotten that we must still live in the world. God said we live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world and partake in what the world is doing. Hallelujah. We know that the writer of Hebrews said that there is a proper heavenly mindedness. It said that it's the virtue that enable Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to live by faith as tent dwellers. Hallelujah. And we read that the apostle himself, the great man who built up the Middle Ages, the evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left a mark on earth precisely because their mind was occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one. And aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. If our minds are properly occupied with heaven, we can't help but to do earthly good. Hallelujah, Jesus. We can go on up to the mountains of blessings, along with the master in prayer, then down to the work in the valley below, your face with the love light of Jesus alone. As you mind your earthly duties, remember to keep heaven in mind. And we know sometimes we ask what we'll do in heaven. Will we sit on a cloud and strum celestial harps? Will we flit around on gossamer wings? Well, we see that John told in his vision that he saw three future heavenly activities. He said the first one is serving. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Revelation 22 and 3. Perhaps we'll explore an unknown corner of the universe. Hallelujah. But we know whatever that service may entail, there will be no sense of inadequacy or weakness, no weariness in heaven. We'll have minds and body equal to the task to which we're assigned. We'll have the second activity is singing. We shall see who? See God. See his face. Just like we see in the mirror dimly. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. But in heaven, we shall see our Savior face to face, and we shall be like him. Hallelujah. This is in the law of Revelation 22 and 4. means when it say his name shall be on their foreheads, meaning that Christ's name shall be on our foreheads. The name of God presents his perfect character. So to bear his name means to be like him in heaven. We will never again struggle with sin, but will reflect the beauty of his holiness forever. Finally, there will be reigning with God. We shall serve our King by ruling and reigning with him forever and ever. You might ask, what will we do in heaven? We'll serve God. We'll see our Savior and reign with him forever. We'll be busy. And like him, we will be. We'll praise him and we'll serve him for all eternity. Hallelujah, Jesus. My God, my God. We know that it's impossible for us to be reminded that though we are living on this side of heaven, for now, but our true home is the place where our loyalty should lie. We need to set our mind on one thing, and that's the things above. Not on things that on earth. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Colossians 3 and 2. We know that beyond earth's sorrows is the joy of heaven. Beyond earth's shadows, a glorious dawn. Beyond earth's battles is sweet peace unending. Beyond earth's sunset is heaven's first morn. As you mind your earthly duties, please don't forget to keep heaven in mind. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that our Savior assured his disciples that he will return to his Father and his eternal home to prepare a place for those who simply believe. It will be a place of such splendor that nothing on earth, so your mansion in Beverly Hills can compare. Your Ferrari in Beverly Hills can compare. Your safe vault of currency will not compare to the life that God has awaiting you. All he's asking you to do is, along with your wealth, along with your residence of Beverly Hills, include God. God lives in the rolling hills of glory. Where the streets are not painted, they are not sprayed on, but they are paved with gold. You know, down here we have diamonds that have, they have certain ranks. They rank in carats, you know, 24 carat, 2.1 carat, you know. But the diamonds up there can't be compared because it's not a comparison. No one in Beverly Hills could have their streets paved in gold, because if they did, then they would go bankrupt. They could not do it because that is God's glory and beauty. He allowed us to partake of his goodness and gracious down here on earth. Everything that we have, our fine cars, our lavish homes, our pocketbooks, our wad of money, currency, is all provided by and through the grace of God. But God do not want you to get so consumed in your wealth, in your money, in your home, that that's all that you see. Because God is the one that made it all possible. Without him, we are nothing, and we can do nothing apart from God. God holds our life. That heart that's pumping blood right now in your body, God holds that in his hand. He holds your lifespan in his hand. And I would not let it be too late. I will not let it be said too late for me if I was you tonight. Because tonight could be tonight that God called you home. I would make sure that I had a relationship with God amongst all of my wealth. You can be wealthy and serve God all in the same token. Just don't be so consumed in your life that you forget about God that love you. God loved you so that he proved it on the cross. When they hung him high and they spread him wide. And they pierced him with a spear in his side. The Bible says the blood and water came gushing out. They placed one foot up on top of the other one and nailed the nails from the top layer of skin down through the marrow of the bone of Jesus' feet. They put one hand on the right and they nailed hands in his right hand. They nailed hands on the left side. In his right hand. Then they put a thorn, a crown. It was a crown of thorns that stick you and cut you to the flesh on Jesus' head. What agony and pain, the Bible says that Jesus died like no one else in the history of mankind. How much more proof do you need? That is proof in the pudding right there. So I will just say to you that are living in Beverly Hills, get you some acreage in the rolling hills of glory land. Get you some property up there. On the rolling hills of glory land. That celestial dominion of heaven that God will bust this cloud one of these days. And he's going to return. God said that every eye is going to see him. And every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And in that name, I hope and I pray that I've said something to impact your mind and to infuse your spirit as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you want the old triple Zion to go in, down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program is the old triple Zion. So your correspondence, make them attentive too. Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we come across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now change the dimension of this program. We're going to now bring you Hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Listen up and be blessed.
Get the load of rough and the struggle now knocking on my door. I know I'm used to running away when I hear the negative things people have to say. They said I'll never make it this far, but I knew something different from the start of story.
Some of you won't. But I remember when, back in the year 1505. Ha ha ha! Yeah. Where the women had to wear white stockings and black shoes. And you have the mother in the church say, turn to the right. And the mother said, get it right, Aaron, get it right. And we'll just be standing there, and she said, sing my favorite song, and it's, y'all like that? Is that enough? Y'all know that she used to wear white, all white. It wasn't this tight, but it was all white. Because we in 2012, and I say, oh!
Available to be used. Available. 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 Nobody can.